DSW semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores, or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're here live in San Antonio for Westwood One's Radio Row with the Final Four. And we're here today brought to you on behalf of Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of construction professionals everywhere. Conquer new heights with Werner, available nationally at Lowe's. So I read a story this morning. And I don't want to say I'm skeptical of the story, because if you put a gun to my head and you said, Zach, is this story true? I would say that it's said. But that it was actually said. It was on Larry Brown Sports, which is a reputable website. It better be reputable. They write about us a lot. And here was the quote. First of all, there's no guarantees that Arch Manning is coming out after next year. It sounds like he certainly could be staying beyond next year, Adam Schefter said, as transcribed by Bleacher Report. I'm not a college football insider, but none of the Mannings ever went out early, and I don't know, with NIL money being what it is, why Arch would do that. So all this conversation about tanking for Arch next year, he could be in the draft in 2027, not even next year. So regardless if this was actually said or not, I do think there's a lot of merit to the conversation. I don't think you could accurately predict in the NFL draft what the Manning family is going to do. And also, I think Arch Manning is going to be really damn good. But we've barely seen him, right? We heard a lot about him in high school. How many of you were actually watching Arch Manning in high school? Right? We don't pretend to be experts. Oh, you know, we saw him do this, we saw him do that. How many of you are actually watching Arch Manning in high school? And then you get to college. Quinn Ewers is not a first-round pick to me. I think Quinn Ewers, and I've said this for a while, is a backup quarterback in the NFL. But Quinn Ewers, for what he's done the last 2 years at Texas, he's got to be one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks that we've seen for what he's accomplished. Not the most, but one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks. Remember how much we used to clown Texas? Sam Ehlinger, we're back, and all that stuff. Texas went into a category with Miami and Texas and other schools that they were resting on what happened 20, 25 years ago. And a little moment would happen, and you would get that social media sarcasm, which would be, oh, yeah, you know, Texas is back. You know, they won a game. Oh, they're back. Well, Quinn Ewers at Texas took him to not one but two college football playoff appearances. He won their final year in the Big 12, and then in his first year in the SEC, got him to an SEC championship game And we saw what Texas was able to do. And quite frankly, I'm still not over. There's some things in sports that you just don't get over. And I know everyone's got to say, oh, you got to move on. You know, you got to turn the page. Steve Sarkisian's play calling up against Ohio State. I'll tell you why it still annoys me. One, it was a stupid play call. Number two, I can't stand Ohio State. I can't stand Ohio State. And Ohio State should have been on the ropes, potentially knocked out in that game. And I think it was second and goal at the two or the three, whatever it was. And you pitched the ball 7 yards behind you. I didn't even need to watch the rest of the game. I remember watching it. I was at a bar in the city watching the game. And the person I was watching with was like, oh, maybe they'll still put the ball. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. And eventually Jack Sawyer, Captain Jack, you know, you'll also have Gus Johnson, Jack Sawyer, like go nuts and scream. Jack Sawyer had the strip sack and then ran the ball back and had the whole touchdown. But the play call by Sarkisian, I won't get over. But still, even with that being said, and, you know, that going to a little sports PTSD right there, what Quinn Ewers did the last 2 years at Texas was really special. And it's almost as if we didn't appreciate it as much because we're sitting back and we're saying to ourselves, okay, when are we seeing Arch? Because we have been told, and we have placed Arch on such a pedestal, and we have been told that he's going to be Peyton, right? He's going to be that next line of Manning where I know Eli didn't make the Hall of Fame this year. It's a controversial topic. Eli Manning will definitely be a Hall of Famer one day. So you're setting a bar where you have Peyton and Eli Manning, Peyton who is a top five quarterback of all time. I would say Brady's one, Montana two, Mahomes three, and then I would say Peyton Manning's fourth. I think he's the fourth best quarterback of all time. Where some people could say, oh, you know, maybe he's three. But he's easily a top five quarterback. So Peyton Manning is easily a top five quarterback. Then you had Eli Manning, who was never a great regular season quarterback. But when Eli got into the playoffs those 2 years, he went on two not just special runs, enormous runs. Runs that will go down in the annals of NFL history where not only did you beat the undefeated Patriots at the time, but then a few years later you played them again and you beat them again and you put a dent in the greatest NFL dynasty that we've ever seen. So look at the standard and the hype on where we're putting Arch. For a guy where, if we're being honest, we haven't seen much of him. I know he had the few starts this year when Quinn Ewers got hurt. But we are basing what we think Arch Manning's going to be based off what we've been told. There is such a great desire for me to see what Arch is going to be able to do on the field. But here's the thing. Even though Arch has been there for 2 years, and Arch is not a freshman, this is going to be the first year where it's his team. This is going to be the first year where he's calling the shots, and he's the unquestioned starter. What happens if Arch struggles a little bit? What happens if Arch is just good and not great? Is Arch Manning going to run to the NFL draft? He could be brutal this year. He will still, whenever he declares for the draft, because of his last name and because of what people think he will be a first-round pick. But the trajectory of what we think Arch Manning is going to do is this. Texas, get him to the playoff this year, be a Heisman Trophy finalist, then be a number one overall pick of the draft, then go win a Super Bowl, if not multiple Super Bowls in the NFL, and then get a gold jacket. Because that's the Manning way. The Manning way is gold jacket, Super Bowl. Gold jacket, Super Bowl. And that's what Arch has to live up to. And I'm not saying that Arch isn't capable of living up to the hype. You know, I don't have a bad word to say about Arch Manning. And we've seen his speed at times too, which is something that Peyton and Eli didn't even have in their dreams, if we're being honest. But the assumption that some make, and whether Schefter said it or not, but this was the quote that was on Bleacher Report from Adam Schefter, supposedly, which we haven't heard it, we just read it today. Quote, first of all, there's no guarantees that Arch Manning's coming out after next year. It sounds like he certainly could be staying around beyond next year. I'm not a college football insider, but none of the Mannings ever went out early, and I don't know, with NIL money being what it is, why Arch would do that. So all this conversation about tanking for Arch next year, he could be in the draft in 2027, not even next year. I've never understood, and I understand the fun that we have with the tanking conversation. I understand that we could sit here and we could talk about the fun slogans that we've come up with, right? And we've seen quarterbacks that get deemed to be the guy, and a lot of times they don't live up to the hype. Like, just in recent memory, quarterbacks that you heard about, not just for 1 year like Joe Burrow, but quarterbacks that you heard for 2 or 3 years, Trevor Lawrence, right? Trevor Lawrence is paid like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he does not play like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, Andrew Luck was another one. He was on that trajectory. Andrew Luck walked into Indianapolis with a team that I don't even think Hickey, who's a big Colts fan, could even name three players on that team from that squad. And he took that team instantly to the playoffs. The unfortunate part is that Andrew Luck's career was derailed because of injuries. So I look at Arch Manning, and for anyone saying, oh, Tennessee should pass on Cam Ward, and the Giants or the Browns should pass on Shedeur Sanders, and those quarterbacks in this year's draft, they're not great, they're just good, and you should wait around till next year, and you should stick around, and you should hope that you get Arch Manning. Well, two things. Actually, three things. Number one, what type of year is Arch Manning going to have this year? Number two, are you going to be bad enough to procure the number one overall pick so you without a doubt have it? So if he does go into the draft, can you get him? And then number three, is the kid even going to declare for the NFL draft? Because I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities with how strategic, with how calculated the Manning family is. Remember, you had the Manning family concoct this plan to avoid Eli Manning from going to the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers. Go, Chargers, go, at the time. You had them concoct this plan to say, we're not going to the Chargers. It's a bad organization. We want Eli in New York with the Giants. And it worked. When Arch Manning went to Texas with Quinn Ewers there, we had Eli on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. And I'm like, Quinn Ewers is coming back. Does this mean Arch is going to hit the transfer portal? And he emphatically said, Arch will not be going the transfer portal. You know, he did one of those, like, I can't speak for him, but I'm basically going to say that he's not going into the transfer portal because he doesn't see why he would leave. So this is a family that, even though they expect greatness, their strategy with what they do. And this is a family that I believe whatever plan they elect to implement, even if it doesn't work, there's great reasoning in why they're doing it. So if you're going to sit here and say, you know what, Mike Borgonzi, don't take Cam Ward. You'll be bad again next year. Don't worry. You get the number one overall pick. If you're the Giants and you sit there at three, you know, we haven't had a quarterback since Eli. You know what? Maybe we just find a way to pass on Shedeur Sanders. Or Cleveland, right? You've had 4,000 quarterbacks. I've actually been the quarterback. You know what? We'll pass on Shedeur Sanders. And if your reasoning for doing that is because you think you're going to get Arch next year, what makes you definitely think that Arch is coming out of college? And also, here's the other thing that's on the table. If the Manning family was willing to start a plan for the Chargers to not get Eli Manning, what happens if you're Cleveland? You're sitting there with the number one overall pick next year after another dreadful season, and you did not take Shedeur Sanders because of the fact that you wanted Arch Manning, and then the Manning family comes out and says, you know what? We're going to prevent Arch from going to Cleveland. we're going to try to get him to the Giants or the Titans or whoever the team is that's going to be picking at the top of the draft. So what I'm saying here is, if you're a team that's going to pass up on a quarterback because you're doing things for down the road in terms of, oh, we're just going to wait for Arch, there's a good chance that you, even if he does come on out, there's a good chance you won't even be in position to get him. Remember how the Dolphins, well, it's ironic that they ended up getting him, but it was tank for Tua, tank for Tua, tank for Tua. When that was said, Joe Burrow wasn't on people's radar. Tua Tagovailoa was supposed to be the number one overall pick. Now, the Dolphins fell to 5, and they ended up getting Tua still, but there was a quarterback that did go before them. So I don't think you could plan now for next year's draft and make a decision to not draft a quarterback based on someone who I don't know what he's going to do this year, and I can't sit here with a tremendous amount of confidence and say he's definitely, definitely going into the draft next year. Now, the one part, if Schefter actually said this stuff, that I don't know if this registers for this situation. I'm not a college football insider, but none of the Mannings ever went out early, and I don't know, with NIL money being what it is, why Arch would do that. I'll just ask this question. Does the NIL money really matter for the Manning family? Like, do you watch football? Do you see the commercials? I think the Manning family is well off with the money, that even though this is Arch making his own money, that Arch isn't going to go back to college to go make $4 or $5 million and that be the deciding factor on why he would go back to college. If Arch Manning is going back to college, I don't think NIL money, and maybe I'm being naive here, but I don't think NIL money is at the top of the list. I think it's because more so the Manning family is calculated. They want him to get more reps. They have this plan, and they want him to be ready when he gets that opportunity, which he'll have to be an NFL quarterback. But when it is handed his way, when they say, okay, you're this pick by whoever team, they want him to be able to hit the ground running and not be like these other quarterbacks that go to a place and look like they're a deer, in headlights here. Like that's what they don't want to have happen. So Arch Manning, to me, I think it's the most fascinating storyline of the college football season. I can't even think of a close second, because I would say maybe Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, now going into second year removed from Nick Saban. You know, you got to make the playoff. Could you maybe say Dan Lanning, first year in the Big Ten, won the Big Ten championship, had the disappointing performance in the playoffs where they got smoked? You know, is that one? Penn State, is this the year that James Franklin lives up to the hype? You could go through the storylines. There's not an individual. The only person that I could say that could go toe-to-toe with Arch is Coach Prime. And even though Coach Prime doesn't have Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter this year, just with the amount of coverage that's on him, but even with Coach Prime, he's not a part of a program right now that people expect to win a national championship. Texas is, with being the last two in two different conferences, last two playoff, one in a 4-team, one in a 12-team, they have catapulted themselves into that national championship contending conversation. So that is the biggest storyline here in college football this year, is what is Arch going to look like, and is Arch going to then return for another year at Texas? But I think there's too much ambiguity, even though we all believe he's going to be really damn good. Now, will he be great? That's actually the one thing I agree with Warren Sapp when he walked off the air with us. He said about Shador, he goes, I think he's going to be really good. I said, how about great? He goes, you got to prove that you got to be great. And I think that's a big thing. Like, Arch Manning, to me, I think he's going to be really good. Am I going to sit here and definitely say he's great and it's a slam dunk? No, I'm not. Because I've seen people hyped up and then not live up to the hype. But for him, I think there's too many questions in terms of how long this experiment is going to last at Texas for any NFL team, and I don't believe NFL teams will do this, to sit back and go, we're going to pass up on a quarterback now in the first round because we think we're going to be in the position to go get Arch Manning, and then what happens? Arch Manning goes, you know, I'm going to go back to college for 2026. and then you pass on a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, one of them goes on to be great, and you're sitting there the next year, and then you reach on a guy that you didn't want to take because you feel like you got to take a quarterback, and you delayed something that you shouldn't have delayed. So that, to me, would be a gross miscalculation, even though I believe Arch Manning can be special, if NFL teams are going to pass on a quarterback now to then hope that they're going to be in the running to get Arch Manning next year. 18 after the hour, Zach Gelb here with you, live on Westwood One's coverage of Radio Row inside the Convention Center in San Antonio. What we will do right now is we will take a break and make this spring a stylish one with on-trend looks for every occasion when you shop at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. That's Kohl's.com, where families come first. When we come on back, Porter Moser, the head men's basketball coach at Oklahoma, a little Boomer Sooner, is going to be joining us on the other side.
DSW's semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores, or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Alrighty, welcome back in inside the Convention Center. This is Westwood One's Radio Row. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And now joining us is a good friend of the radio program. He is the head men's basketball coach at Oklahoma, here today on behalf of the American Cancer Society, Coaches versus Cancer, and that is Porter Moser. Coach, how are you?
Zach, my friend, it's good seeing you. You had me on when I was at Loyola. And appreciate you, my friend.
This got to be a little sentimental for you coming back to this town in San Antonio, because that Loyola Chicago team that you went to the Final Four with, this is where the road did end for you guys.
No, I rolled in last night, and it was nostalgic. And but I will tell you, it's a lot nicer rolling in on a team bus than in an Uber. You know, I'd rather be playing in this thing.
That's for sure. I've always said this. We always remember the great run to the Final Four. But then a few years later, your final season, when you got to the Sweet 16, was that in a way a little bit more rewarding, even though you didn't get further in the tournament, but it was just sustained success that you could get to the second weekend once again?
Zach, it's exactly what it was. And for me, there were, you know, going to the Final Four at Loyola, I mean, the previous 30 years, they had 26 losing seasons, and then we built it up with a great group of guys. And There was opportunities, but I just didn't want to, I didn't want to run from happy. I was happy. I'm from Chicago, but there was something inside me that just didn't want to be a fluke. I wanted to do it again, but it's hard because you're in a one bid league. You're in a league where you got to win your tournament. And like after that, then we had COVID, and then we won it, the league again, but then we didn't win the tournament. And then in 21, It was a whole new team except two guys. So it wasn't like we did it with a, And we had to play Georgia Tech the first round. And actually in Chicago, we had to play Illinois. It was in the second. Everyone wanted to talk about matchup. And I'm like, guys, Georgia Tech.
Great defensive game. I had the under.
I didn't hear that, Zach. We were like, you have to beat the ACC tournament champion first. And then Illinois was the number one seed in the whole tournament with Kofi and and we were able to beat them. And we thought we had to beat Oregon State, and we came out and they had this huge zone and they were on that crazy run and we lost to Oregon State.
And you guys were in the bubble, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember you tweeted out the bracket that was on the hotel.
Yes.
And you go, this is the hotel room view. And you sent me a few Loyola Chicago shirts, and I had this Photoshop done with the Cam Crutwig mustache. And then my people, they put it up on the hotel, and they said, this is a better view for you, coach. So that was bad time in the world. Obviously, the whole world was changing. But in a weird way, the team coming together like that must have been pretty neat looking back at it.
It was the most unique thing because they had the two Marriotts together, and like they had two or three rooms or floors of ballrooms. And everybody, so you're sitting there next to the like, it was, you know, Houston, all that, like one thing.
Your opponent,
everyone's right there. And I remember, though, when we went in, like, all right, if you lose, you got to get your crap and get out of here.
And it was all that quick.
Oh, it was like crazy. Like game after game, you're sitting in a hotel. We had to see everyone walking out with their luggage, their head down, like, get out of our bubble.
I'm a reality TV hunk. Like, it seems like, you know, you get voted off the island, you pack up your bags, and then boom, you're out. Porter Moser here with us. So, you made the tournament at Oklahoma this year. When you look back at the season, how do you kind of reflect?
I think it'll be, you know, you coach to pour into young people. And I just think these guys will have life lessons for the rest of their life because they fought through hard. The ups and downs we had. We started out the season 13-0, 10th in the country. We beat Arizona, second in the Big 12, beat Michigan, won the second in the Big 10, won the tournament, and beat Louisville, second in the ACC. So the other three power schools, we had great non-conference wins. We go right into the league. We start out, hey, welcome to the SEC. You're going to start at Alabama.
So fun.
And we go on a run of losing. We're at Florida, at Alabama, at Auburn. Like, that's not...
Look at Auburn. Right before the start of the NCAA tournament, they lost 3 out of 4. And I was one of those pundits. And I love Bruce Pearl. I love Auburn. But I was like, they're not trending in the right direction, but it's the SEC for crying out loud.
Exactly right. And that's the thing is there's no good 4-game stretch. There's none. It's all top 25 teams. So mentally, we went from being 10th in the country to getting hit in the face, and we had to pick ourselves up and to fight through hard and what these guys did on a daunting schedule. I mean, it's just every single night. You got 3 days later, you got to prepare for another top 10 team.
Where's Oklahoma heading under your watch?
It's a great trending, you know, because of, and I'll be honest, NIL. When you, the revenue share is actually going to help us. Some people think it's going to hurt them, but it's actually helping us because you have to win in April and May. You have to win in April and May if you want to win in February and March. And it's just the reality of it. And you're seeing it going on right now. So to get your infrastructure of NIL powerful and moving in the right direction helps you win in April and May. And this is what I think we're trending. Right? I don't know, the first couple of years, and we were the last ones out the previous two. And that was, I think we've really done some things. And now I feel like we're going to have more resources in that revenue share. And jumped up back-to-back 20-win seasons, got to the tournament. And like all of us, you know, I know that's not my end goal. My end goal is to roll in on a team bus this last weekend.
So, you know, the coaching carousel, it's crazy, right? We saw your name floated out there for Villanova. Even when I Googled you this morning, you hear about A&M and things like that. What do you say to the Oklahoma fan that's like, coach, are you going to stay here? Are we going to have you here?
This thing with Oklahoma, you know, the last couple of years, you kind of seeing that there's been some things up in the Midwest, but the people in Oklahoma are special. It's one of the greatest places I've lived. But you're fighting to get the resources right. And we're moving in that right direction. And for what we had to do to fight through hard this year, because it is, but I said about the lessons these guys learn, there's a lot of people that counted us out. There's a lot of people. And I was like Bill Murray on Groundhog Day. Every day I was standing in front of them. You guys, there's a path. We got opportunities. Every game's quad one. And then, you know, you just have to keep bouncing yourself up. But we fought through hard and we're going to continue to fight through that. And there's just such opportunity, such a high vision of what we can do being in this SEC. And and we're looking forward to it.
What do you take away in replacing Lon Kruger? Because, right, John Shire had to replace Coach Krzyzewski. You know, people always say, you always don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the next guy. I'm like, no, when you get the opportunity, even if you're replacing someone at a program that has a lot of history, that has a great coach, you're either ready or you're not. Clearly, you have a lot of history, but how about what you learned from, you know, replacing Lon Kruger, and then how you can maybe sympathize, I don't know if that's the right word, with what John Shire's been going through.
You know, the hard part about replacing Lon is you're not going to be a better human being than Lon Kruger. That's the shoes of how good of a person and human being he is, and then he's a Hall of Fame coach. But, you know, the times were changing. Like right when he retired, that's really 8 weeks after I took the job, the transfer portal became a thing.
Yeah.
NIL became a thing.
Different world.
Oh, and hey, by the way, you're going to the SEC in 4 years. And everybody gets an extra year of COVID. All four of those things happened 8 weeks. And I had two players when I got the job. So that's the reality of what's hard on taking over jobs is, you know, this time of year, you might have to, you know, back in the old days, you come to the Final Four, you might have two or three guys sign late, tops, come to the Final Four, see some old colleagues, have a couple pops at lunch. I'm going from here to a Zoom.
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised you're even here today, because I remember last year you were like, we're in the same convention center, but I'm on a Zoom, just transfer portal.
I'm literally going from here to my hotel room. I have a Zoom for 20 minutes.
Gotcha.
And, but this is, it's our new world. And John, you know, he amazing having, you know, being able to do that at Duke with his play. And he's such an ambassador because he won a national championship.
Yeah.
Being able to have the opportunity to win a national championship as a player and a coach is special.
What do you think decides Florida and Auburn, obviously seeing both of them this year and going up against them?
You know, the thing that I've been asked this a lot, their positional size is daunting. They're 6'11", 6'10", 6'9". But they both defensively put so much pressure on you. But they also have elite hard shot makers.
Yeah.
Like Clayton, we played Florida.
He's unbelievable.
The first five possessions, we got stops. And I'm sitting there feeling pretty good about myself, going, all right.
Yeah.
And he comes off a ball screen right to left.
Taking time bomb.
And just hit like a 28-foot dagger. Then he comes down off the dribble. He hits back-to-back daggers. And we're just like, he just did it again. I mean, their shot-making ability, those two teams, they're both elite positional size. And that's in athleticism.
If Auburn's going to win, to me, it's the defense of Denver Jones, and then Tahad Pettiford's going to have to clear 20 points. That's what I look at, the first two things.
You know, both those guys, they just have so many different guys. Both teams have, and I'll say this. I told Todd this, Golden, after we played. Condon was out the game we played. And Hawes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he played, and he had the game before him. He had like 10 and 10, and then Argon. So I told Todd, I said, in our Final Four run at Loyola, I said, Ben Richardson got hurt in like end of early December. And then he came back in February, and Lucas Williamson was a freshman that I ended up having to play. And then when Ben came back, Ben started again, but Lucas was my sixth man and was unbelievable in our Final Four run. I said, Todd, the fact that Condon's out, this kid is emerging. He's going to help you in March. And I'm telling you, and not that I'm trying to be a prophet, but what the hell, I'll say it.
You want to be my
No one else is saying it. So, but sure enough, did you see how much that kid has been huge? Because they get experience during the season, and then you're deeper.
Clayton, he was their best player on the court.
Oh, man.
In their last game. All right. I know you got to run. American Cancer Society, Coaches Versus Cancer, obviously a great cause. You know, tell us more about what you're doing.
You know, just for years, Coaches Versus Cancer and the American Cancer Society have been partners. Everybody's been affected this. I lost both my parents. And the thing is that the society, human beings, we've overcome things through every decade. We are going to beat cancer. And the technology now to get early detection saves lives. You can get in there, friends, family, early detection can save lives. And it's just, we've got to have our outreach, keep pushing, keep fighting. We will beat cancer with the push. And the American Cancer Society, Coaches Versus Cancer are all pushing. And we plead for everyone to jump on board.
Well, Coach, always great to see you and appreciate your support in such a great cause. By the way, you in or out on the Bears this year?
Oh, I'm so in. If I had 5 feet, I'd be 5 feet in. I drink the Kool-Aid.
You're preparing for the heartbreak. It's a Saturday Night Live special again.
I'm starting. I was that guy on openings, this kickoff that was at everything. I had my Peyton jersey on. Yeah. I had chili and everything. And that first game just punched me in the gut.
Yeah, I almost just strangled myself here with my headphones just flying out of my ears. But, Coach, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Zach, take care, my friend.
There he is, Porter Moser, joining us live on set. I'll tell you. I almost just killed myself while interviewing him. as I was doing the Bears line from Saturday Night Live, and you basically faked that heart attack. I forgot that my headphones were in. My large mitts just ripped them right out of my ears, and then the wire like went right around my neck. I'm like, oh, this could be a little bit dangerous here. So luckily we were able to recover. All righty, we got one more segment to play on Radio Row, on Westwood One's Radio Row, for the Final Four as the road does end here in San Antonio. When we come on back, we'll check out the latest mock draft from Field Yates.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Take your game day rituals on the road with Marriott Bonvoy. Over 30 hotel brands for every kind of fan. Explore more at MarriottBonvoy.com/NCAA. Zach Gelb here with you. Final segment on this Thursday edition of our extravaganza live from Westwood One's Radio Row in San Antonio. You know, it's a big discussion what we're doing for dinner tonight. You know, we had the New York deli place last night, which people be like, Howie Denaroff is now looking at me. He's like, you just went to a New York deli? You live in New York, you dope. My friend's parents, they own the deli here. And it was delicious. It was very good. They moved here over a decade ago. Abe and Louise, or Max and Louise, excuse me. The grandson's name is Abe. And I had to go eat, pastrami and burgers last night and a little noodle kugel and some onions. It was my spring training for Passover, Howie, is pretty much what I was doing. I was getting prepared for next week. But tonight, Stu and I were debating between Tex-Mex or do we just go get traditional barbecue, and then we get told there's a media party here. And let's be real, you know, we're media members. Of course, we're not going to pass up on free food and free booze. So, Stu, I think we're going back to another thing tonight where we'll get a big gluttonous meal somewhere, and then we'll walk on the overrated Riverwalk for about for 3 miles, and we'll see if it's any better. One of the folks here behind the scenes came up to me, and he goes, "You didn't like the Riverwalk?" And I go, "What's so special about it?" He goes, "You can't get that in New York." And I go, "Yeah, you can. Now, it's going to cost me $30 to get a drink, and here it will cost me $5. But I'm sitting there, and I was just not blown away by this Riverwalk. Were you?
I was not blown away by it either. Yeah. It was fine. It was okay. It's fine.
It's like the Raiders in the draft.
Oh, well. No, it's better than the Raiders in the draft. Let's not joke about that.
Everyone posts their photos like on the Riverwalk. So this morning, while I was waddling over here to the convention center, I did a selfie on the Riverwalk, and I looked absolutely miserable. As a gondola did come on by and was going down the stream, on this whole Riverwalk. So it was fine, you know, but people would have thought this was like the greatest thing you've ever seen. I'm just sorry it wasn't. I did run into John Calipari this morning.
It's great.
Which was a very fun encounter. So let me tell you something. I am probably the biggest idiot in the world when it comes to directions, even when they're on your phone and you're following them on the map. Like, last night, Stu was my tour guide, pretty much. Because you were like, "Oh, we turn here, we turn there, boom, we're good." We are, what, a 15-minute walk?
Yes.
At most?
Yes.
To here? The GPS just, like, doesn't load correctly, and I have no clue if I'm turning left or if I'm turning right. So eventually I did it the old-fashioned way. I followed the signs, and it just said convention center that way. And I just kept on following it. And then I'm walking, and I hear this distinct voice. And he's like, "Oh, I got to go to a conference." And then he's talking about his team this year. And I turned around, and I'm like, "Oh, it's John Calipari." Now, I didn't bring up, a little bit of the mismanagement at the end of his final game. But I said to him, I go, "Well, you had a great season this year." I go, "Your team was fun to watch. They went further than what anyone could have imagined." And we talked a little bit. My father, so when he produced Mike and the Mad Dog, they would have Calipari on all the time when he was at UMass. So, you know, I brought up that connection, and Calipari goes, "Yeah, I don't know if I ever met your dad," but I said to him, "But you definitely yelled at him," because I remember my dad would always talk about, like, this one story. So I guess Christopher Mad Dog Russo once said something back in the day, and then Calipari brought this up. He goes, "The transcripts." He goes, "Bring it up to your old man and text us the dog." Calipari says, "The transcripts." So I guess whatever academic thing that dog was bitching about with Calipari's team that Calipari took offense to, Calipari went back and found, like, the college or high school transcripts of Christopher Mad Dog Russo. And he was like, "Can we talk about you as a student?" So that was their fights back in the day. So it was cool. We took a little photo. We put it out there at Zach Gelb on Twitter. And I'm sure we'll get it up on Instagram as well as where you can find that. Anyway, before we get on out of here, latest mock draft from Field Yates, who has become one of the creme de la creme mock draft guys. Mel Kiper and McShay, to me, are still the two most recognizable. It's nice to see McShay actually be allowed to do things now post his exit from ESPN. I think the guys at CBS are really good, Chris Trapasso and Ryan Wilson. But Field Yates, I think he's starting to become, outside of McShay, and then I also do like when Mel Kiper just freaks out, but without McShay, I don't think Mel Kiper and that banter back and forth is as great as what it once was. You know, both guys are really good in their own, but they were at best when they were together. But Field Yates, I always enjoyed his opinion. He was the one that talked me back into Drake May last year when he joined us on the show. So I really have enjoyed Field Yates' work. But this is latest mock draft, first round. Cam Ward, number one, to the Tennessee Titans. I like it. Abdul Carter, two, to the Browns. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think Cleveland should take Shedeur Sanders. He then has the Giants taking Shedeur Sanders. So just as Adam Schefter is saying, it's starting to feel like Cleveland and the Giants are both going to pass on Shedeur Sanders. Field Yates still has Shedeur Sanders going three to the Giants. And as the Patriots taking Travis Hunter. Now, I would want Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter, but I want either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter one way or another to wind up with the Patriots. Anything else, I'm not going to say it's a disaster, but as a football fan, the way I consume football, even if it ends up being a good pick, it would be disappointing for me. Mason Graham to the Jaguars at five. I think everyone is predicting Mason Graham to the Jaguars. It's almost like when people a few years ago were predicting Joe Alt to go to the Chargers, everyone has Mason Graham going to the Jaguars. Ashton Jeanty going to the Raiders, which I think would be a good pick for them, and then their identity would be on the offensive side of the ball with Jeanty, with Geno Smith, who just got a two-year extension today. Armin Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, going to the Jets at 7, so the Jets taking another offensive lineman. Jalen Walker would then be, I guess, the first pure – oh, no, we have Mason Graham already, so he's not the first pure defensive player, and Travis Hunter plays both ways. But Jalen Walker, the edge rusher out of Georgia, would be going to Carolina at 8. Shamar Stewart out of A&M going to the Saints at 9. And then wrapping out the top 10, he has Will Campbell going to the Chicago Bears. I think the first four picks of this draft are what are most intriguing. And the way I think it should go, should, not will, should. I do believe Tennessee should take Cam Ward with the first overall pick. I then do think the Browns should take Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if they will, though. I think that the Giants should go with Travis Hunter. The Patriots then should go with Abdul Carter. That's how I think it should go. Other takeaways, though, from the Field Yates draft. He has McMillan going to the Cowboys at 12. The Cowboys could use another wide receiver. Will Johnson. He has him falling to 13. And I feel as if that's when Will Johnson is starting to get predicted to go. And that's the trajectory. It's after 10. Before the season, we had Will Johnson on. He was projected to be a top five pick. Even later on the season, I know he had some injuries. He was projected to be in the top 10, and they have him slightly falling out of the top 10 and going 13 to the Miami Dolphins. Tyler Warren's also been a sexy pick going to the Colts at 14. If I'm the Bears, and I understand the Bears beefed up their offensive line with Jonah Jackson, and they got Joe Tooney, and you also ended up getting Drew Dolman. If the decision's between Will Campbell or Tyler Warren at 10, I know you have Cole Kmet. I would go with Tyler Warren with how much you beefed up your offensive line. But Field Yates has Tyler Warren going 14 to the Indianapolis Colts. Mike Green, the edge rusher, out of Marshall, going to the Falcons at 15. And let's see what else does stand out here. Malachi Starks, who Aaron Murray's very high on, going 19th to Tampa Bay. That'd be a good 1-2 punch. Antoine Winfield Jr. and Malachi Starks in the same defensive backfield. Omarion Hampton, who I read something yesterday, and I don't believe it. I think he's going to be a very good running back, that the evaluator's view of Omarion Hampton may not be as high as us analysts and talk show hosts. Well, in Phil Yates' mock draft, and maybe this could be one of those analysts and talk show hosts, that opinion isn't viewed and reflected what evaluators are saying, but Phil Yates has him going 20th to the Denver Broncos. Then he has Jackson Dart going to the Steelers at 21. That's the only spot where Jackson Dart could go in the first round, and I don't hate it if he ends up going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Outside of that, I would not use a first-round pick on Jackson Dart. Colston Loveland reuniting with Harbaugh, Michigan at 22. I think that's a good landing spot for Colston Loveland. I do not think Colston Loveland's going to be as great as what other people do think when it comes to his projection in the NFL. And then wrapping out the first-round picks, James Pierce Jr., edge rusher out of Tennessee, going to 27 to the Lions. Then he has a projected trade. He is the Patriots trading back in with the Bills to go get an offensive lineman, Josh Connolly Jr. out of Oregon. So then the Patriots would be getting not only Travis Hunter, but they would also be getting an offensive lineman. And then he has the Raiders trading back in and getting Luther Burden III, the wide receiver out of Missouri. And then Jahad Campbell, who I think could go earlier than 32, but he hasn't fallen all the way to the Eagles. And the Eagles got another great player out of the SEC. Jeez Louise, what are we doing? All righty, fun day number one here from Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA Tournament's Final Four on Radio Row. Big thanks to Greg Gard. Big thanks to Seth Greenberg, Dennis Gates, Shaka Smart, Porter Moser, and everyone on site here and back in the studio. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.